Somebody say, it's the blood. It's the blood. If you would learn how to plead the blood over your family, if you would learn how to plead the blood over your children, you would see a transformation like never before. Somebody just say, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, come on, this is the stuff we used to do for communion. Yeah. These are the songs that carried us. It washed out the wine. Come on, sing it like it's Sunday morning. Say, oh, the blood.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
On this side.
Oh, what
say, it was the blood. It was the blood.
Good morning, Father God. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And good morning, Tedmont. It was nothing but the blood. Father God, this morning we sprinkle and apply your blood. I want each one of you to sprinkle and apply the blood of Jesus over yourself this morning. Good morning, Minister Hill.
Good morning, Dr. Shepherd. And good morning, Tedline. And I sprinkle and apply the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice. And I cover this line, these airways, with the blood. And I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. It covers us. Lord, you're better to us than we are to ourselves. We just don't know the depth of your goodness. We are your people, the sheep of your pastor, and we follow your voice.
Hallelujah.
And the voice of another we will not follow. Thank you, Lord. We look to you, Lord, for our life, health, and our strength.
Yes.
For our very life is hidden in you, Jesus, from whom all blessings flow. And before we partake of this prophetic act, I just want to say thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because I love you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you.
Yes, God.
Your death, burial, and resurrection is being remembered among your people, which are called by your name.
Yes, God.
Which follow to keep and to do our master's will. There's no need to know it or to follow it if you're not going to do it.
Praise
we
God.
Thank you, Lord, for our very life is hidden under the blood. The blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. Prepare your hearts and minds to see only Jesus this morning.
Yes, God.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, bless his name, church. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you.
Yes.
This do in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Not to get, but in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen.
Praise God.
In the highest.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you this morning. Thank you.
Ocean that can't be parted. There is no mountain that can't be moved. I know there's help for the heavy hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. You just gotta have faith. You just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow, or all your tomorrow. Know when he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it, and you can.
Father God, for faith this morning. Brothers and sisters, you know, God is really moving. He's really moving by His Spirit. And I believe that I'm right in saying that He's speaking to a lot of you. He's speaking to a lot of us. And He's speaking to a lot of us in different ways. Yesterday, a person said something to me. And this is what they said. It wasn't an insult or anything like that. But they said, whenever I hear the term deliverance minister, In essence, what they said, it turns me off. I kind of don't want to hear it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But they said, not you, Erica, but they did mean me too. They did. But they were trying to be polite and they were trying to be courteous. And so I said, yeah, I understand that. I said, a lot of weird stuff went on. And they said, well, let me explain. She said, if you meet 10 deliverance ministers, all 10 of them have 10 different ways. And none of them have the same thing. In other words, like nothing with any of the you guys, so to speak, is consistent. Or like each other. So I said, okay. I said, well, number one, biblically, there's no such thing as a deliverance minister. Now, you all know, and you've heard me say it before. And I said to them, I said, biblically, it's the full gospel. I said, it's just preaching the full gospel. But that stuck with me all day long. And the reason it stuck with me all day long is, you know, I'm having some interesting days. But this person was right when they said, if you meet 10 different deliverance ministers, they got 10 different methods, 10 different ways. And I thought about that, and I said, God, help me out with this. Help me out so that, you know, the next time somebody says something like that to me, I have an answer that is intelligent and biblical. And he said, go to Genesis chapter 1. He said, look at how I created the 6 days. He said, did I create anyone like another one? I said, no. He said, and from the day of Adam, when I created him, did I create any other man that looked like him or talk like him or walk like him or act like him? I said, no. I said, we come in all different colors, all different shapes, all different sizes, all different cultures. He said, and that's why it takes all different men, all different shapes, all different sizes, all different cultures. And he said, and another thing, look at the languages. When man tried to come up to me, come up to heaven, and they had that witchcraft at the top, what did I say? I said, I'm going to confound their language because they could do it. I said, yeah. He said, so for as many different languages, for as many different kinds of mankind, he said, I'm God. I got to reach everybody. And I have different people. I have sheep that nobody else has ever heard of that will be reached. He said, but the next time somebody says that to you, ask them if they can take healing out of the Bible. Because I heal in millions and millions of different ways. And I deliver likewise. So I said, thank you. And the success of my ministry has been that I've been able to learn from so many different people that have been deliverance ministers. We don't all have to talk the same language to serve the same God. We don't all, because God was showing me that when you get into doing when everybody gets into doing everything the same way, it's called ritual. And what precedes witchcraft? Ritual. So the Lord said, the next time somebody says that to you, you'll have an answer for them. He said, but nevertheless, they can't take it out of the Bible just because I didn't give a ritual for it. I don't require rituals. I require men's hearts. So then he told me, he said, I want you to look a word up. And I said, uh-oh. The word was prevented. I had to look it up. Let me get the correct pronunciation again. I had to put the prevenient. I had to type it in Word, and then I had to put the pronunciation in Word so that I could know what it meant. Because it's a word I never heard of before. I did not know the definition. I didn't even know what it meant. But it's spelled like this, P-R-E. V-E-N-I-E-N-T. And then he said, put grace at the end of it. I'm still getting this pronunciation. Prevenient grace. He said, I want you to look up what that means. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. Prevenient grace. Misspelled it, Jessica. P-R-E-V-E-N-I-E-N-T. Grace. No, it's prevenient grace. You can't just put grace by itself, because this, when God gave this to me, it's so simple. And this is what it means. It means that he said men and women of God used to understand this, Erica. He said they don't understand. No, Grace, Natasha, G-R-A-C-E, prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. And when I tell you what it means, you're going to get it. You're going to say, oh, wow, just like I did. When I looked it up, the definition didn't do much for me because it's an adjective. And it's an old word. It's an 18th century type word. And it means preceding, prior, antecedent, preparatory. So then I went further. And this word is a Christian theological concept, okay? And look at the definition. The definition is divine grace that precedes human decision. Divine grace that precedes human decision. In other words, God will start showing love to an individual at a certain point in his or her lifetime. So I asked God, as usual, can you make that simple for me? And this is what he said, that men don't understand anymore and are not in fellowship with him in this way. Before, just briefly stated, the Holy Spirit said, before a man or a woman can seek God, or God said me, before a man or a woman can seek me, I must first have sought that man or that woman. Are you getting this? Before a man or a woman can seek him, he must first have sought that man or sought that woman. Before a sinful man or woman can think a right thought of God, there must have been a work of God's own Holy Spirit done within that man or within that woman, imperfect as it may be, but a true work. And that work is the cause of all desiring and seeking and praying that takes place in the life of that man or that woman. Wasn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit was still talking to me. The Holy Spirit said, we pursue God because and only because one reason, Erica, because God has first put an urge within us that spurs us to pursue him. Now, I haven't had a time yet to work all this out because, see, God, what God is doing with me now, he's taking me back to my first love, and I'm writing these books. I finished the second part of yesterday, and I asked my friend who's a writer on this deadline to edit it for me. You see, he said, no man can come to me. This was God talking to me. Except Jesus brings him to me. And Jesus can't bring him to me except I have already pursued that man or that woman. He said, but what's happening now is that, find that scripture, except the Father which draws him, he cannot come. Find that for me. Because everything God Everything God talks to me is scripture. I can find the scripture. But I haven't had time. This was so fast. Nope, that ain't it. It's the scripture that said, no man can come to God except the Lord. I mean, where Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except by me. There it is, John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So he said, when I was recognized, through, I don't know what it is about this word.
Prevenient
grace. I called men. I called women. And they would go around and tell you, God called me on such and such a day, at such and such a time, in such and such a way. Because they understood this right here, that no man can come to me, God, except he come through Jesus. And I will have already put it in their heart by my own Holy Spirit. You see, but God was reminding me that there was a name for that. That's that prevenient grace. And men of old knew that. They knew that. And they waited for the call of God. And they even if they knew they were called, they waited until they had something to stand on, I guess, until God is given all the credit, I guess, for them coming to him, or for them coming into ministry, or for them coming into what? Service to him. And so what God was saying, now find that scripture that says, thy right hand upholdeth me. Thy right hand upholdeth me. He said, when men came to him, they knew that, because they had that supernatural unction, or that supernatural encounter, or that supernatural knowing. You know what? You beat me to it. I was going to Psalm 63:8. My soul followed hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. You see, this is a divine upholding. When when people come to God because they just want to serve him, it's great, but there's no divine upholding, brothers and sisters. I don't believe. And the reason I say I don't believe it, because you can say, God told me this or God told me that, but if there's no fruit, if there's no godly witness in you, if there's no change, then maybe it's just a humanistic, soulish following of God. But when when God calls you, brothers and sisters, there is divine fruit. When the Holy Spirit, whether you know the Holy Spirit or not, was sent forth to meet you, to usher you into his kingdom, because you know that God was drawing you, God drew you, then God gets 100% all the credit. But when you don't have that assurance, and man does it, you miss out on that impulse to pursue God that comes from God, that only God can put within you and me. You see, I was wondering why this lady said this to me about deliverance. And in essence, it could have been taken as a divine insult. I mean, as an insult, but I didn't, because I knew that there was something that God wanted me to get from it. And from all of this, I was wondering how some people just cannot. You know within you, you have to serve God. You know, when you get away from God, your life is just not right, and you have to run back to God because of that prevenant grace. That's what it is. That's what it was. I didn't understand. I didn't know it. But I'm so glad where I'm at right now, because now you know what the scripture is. For many are called, but few are chosen. But some are called and chosen according to the purpose of God. How many of you this morning on this chat line know the exact moment, the exact date, the exact hour God called you? How many of you on this tail line know the exact time when you were changed? It's something that you need to know. It's something that you gotta know. Because so many people are being taken out by the devil because they don't know. They don't know. They don't have that assurance. Because maybe they pastor told them they was called. Maybe they nurse practitioner told them they were called. You see, the way the Holy Spirit let me understand it, God's previous works meets man's present response. Can you write that down? God's previous work in us by the Holy Spirit that drew us to him comes together with our present response to him. There must be in this way, in this type of relationship, a reciprocation. A reciprocation of this drawing that is done in the spirit. It's not done in the natural. When they do these altar calls and thousands of people come down It was God's previous working. If God had previously worked in that person, they'll stay saved. But some of them, the minute they leave the altar call, go outside and smoke weed. The minute they leave the altar call, they'll go outside and drink a beer. That's not how it's supposed to be. And you know what? I used to see that in my Baptist upbringing. My uncles would leave church and go get a fifth of Johnny Walker Red Scotch. My uncle, head of the Boy Scouts. Yeah, Baptist. And they would sit on the porch. All them brothers, you know, biological brothers, and drink scotch. And you know what? I thought that was okay. I did. Because that's what I saw all my life. But now that the Lord was making this thing clear for me this morning, I realized that even although my mother was the choir director, and I would sit in the chair in the pew and cry. I never know what I was crying about. Every time I went to church, I would cry. I would sit there and cry. I thought it was my mother's ability as a choir director through the songs and stuff. But you know what? God's working. One day met my response, my present response to his previous working. And I said yes to God. But it was that grace, that prevenant grace. Brothers and sisters, my desire is that you are able to stand. This is why I have worked so hard to build a foundation inside of you of Christ. This is why I work so hard to bring people to Christ and let him do the teaching. Let him do the leading. Let him do the guiding and directing. Because when it all boils down, that's who you're going to stand before. That's who you're going to have to give an answer to. Nobody, not your college professors, not your seminary professors, not your Bible teacher, and not your preacher. Because we all going to have to give an answer to Christ. And especially now that I'm understanding, and I'm going to study, I'm going to write a little book on this. That's when you can say, I think the scripture says, in the 42nd Psalm, can somebody post the 42nd Psalm? The 42nd Psalm. Can somebody post the 42nd Psalm for me? It talks about your heart, my soul, panting as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hemanites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42. Brothers and sisters, this leads into, I don't know if you know it or not, but justification. Justification by faith. Justification. I have teaching on justification because of this reason. Sanctification, justification, and then glorification. Are you hearing me? And maybe some of you missed it, or maybe you didn't have the teaching. But justification by faith is a biblical truth. Justification is an unveiling, of self-effort. But these are steps. These are steps in your salvation. And these are the steps, if taken, taught and learned in the right order, it just takes you from glory to glory to glory to glory. You hearing me this morning? You see, God is not concerned with you having a knowledge of him. He wants you to know him. Knowledge of him. And these are the steps, or some of them. But, I mean, you can look it up on the internet yourself. Google it. But I'm going to ask you again. How many on this line this morning? No. You know why? There's a difference in teaching and preaching and in the person being able to receive. It's a difference. A person being able to stand in the midst and in the face of the enemy with full assurance. There's a difference. It's a difference between being called and chosen and call yourself. It's a difference. It's a difference between going to a Baptist seminary and a Spirit-filled seminary. One going to give you the knowledge of God, and one is going to fill you with the knowledge of God. And one is going to make you to be known of God. Most importantly. So God had to give me a memory check. I seem to be going through this elevation change. But he had to take me all the way back. And I had to remember that I was called of him and chosen by him. And I never asked him for nothing. I didn't ask him. Only thing I ever asked him to do was save me. That's all. I ain't asked God for no ministry. I didn't want nothing to do with any kind of ministry or anything like that. All I wanted to do was make money to be able to fund the church. That's all I ever wanted to do. To be able to give the church money to survive and exist. And to be able to still be the church. That's all I ever wanted to do. And I did that as a sinner. A backslider. Because I got saved and baptized in our family church at 5 years old. I don't know if I just know they said, come down to be, I got up by myself and went down there. My mother was shocked. And from then on, I went on into backsliding. I went on into thinking I was so smart. But you see, you got to know yourself. It's got to be ingrained in you that you were a previous work of God. And God's previous work met up with your present moment. And your response was yes. And if he called you, you know it. You know it. So let me tell you what happened when you told him no. Or when you told him, wait on me, God. I'll be back when I get ready. I know that there's something in my heart deep. What was that? His previous working. That prevenant grace was working in you. His previous work, when you didn't know him. So when you told him no, now I could take you to Deuteronomy. Because you told God no, you came up under a curse. And a large percentage of the people seeking deliverance today are under a curse. And this curse comes from God. What you mean, Erica? I mean just what I say. Blessings and cursing. Choose you this day. When you have the nerve to tell your Creator, I don't want to work for you. When you have the nerve to tell your Creator, I'll be back when I get good and ready. It is called, write this word in the chat room, disobedience. And there's about 50 curses, I don't know, 30 in Deuteronomy 29 that come from disobedience. And you fall under those curses of God. And read it for yourself. Because God was already was working a previous work. God had predestined, preordained that you were going to follow him and that you were going to do this work according to his purpose. And you said no. You said wait. Well, that's just like no. So then, certainly God did not want to do it, but he didn't do it. You did. So then you fell up under all them curses. Can you post all them curses on here, somebody? For disobedience. In Deuteronomy. It's a whole bunch of them. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus came to bring us eternal life with God and with his own Holy Spirit. So then, when you said, I'm only going to take you partially, you fell under a curse from God. Cursed because of our own disobedience. But God is great and wonderful in his mercy towards us. See that? Deuteronomy 28:45. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall not only are they going to come upon you, but they're going to pursue you. They're going to chase you down. They're going to chase you down. Because why? Why? Because the Bible says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Can somebody post them in either the Living Bible or the Message? The Living or the Message. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commands, which I command thee. I don't want this one. I don't want the blessings. I want the curses. All these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses. Look at one of these curses. Confusion and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. What they call evil, forsaking him. 21, the Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land and you are entering the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath your iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds and the wild animals, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores and the itch from which you cannot be cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope about like a blind person in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman but another will take her and rape her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcibly taken from you and will not be returned. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you or your ancestors. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror, a byword, and an object of ridicule. So forth and so on. It's up here. The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. I want to tell you something. I don't think a curse could get any worse than this. All because you chose your way, or understand this. I'm talking to a whole lot of people. I'm talking to the first shift, the second shift, and the third shift. You got to get this thing right. After this is all the blessings. You read the blessings and see. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have already made the wrong choice because you thought it was in a job. You thought it was in a paycheck. You thought it was in marrying up. You thought it was in wealth. But the wealthiest person on this earth is the person that has Christ. Better yet, the person that Christ has. Brothers and sisters, we serve a wonderful, good God. But we reap the fruit of the choices we make. We even reap the fruit of our ignorance. And it ain't just about you, especially you parents. You are responsible for those little souls, young bodies, but full spirits he's giving you stewardship over. And it's not just your kids. It's your spiritual kids. It's not just your family. It's your family and your spiritual family. So, a question. Are you serving him? Or are you in service to him? You see, some of you were called under that prevenant grace. where God began a work in you with his own Holy Spirit and then put the opportunity in front of you to make a decision, because he wouldn't violate your will. And you thought it was you, and you said no. You can fix that today. You can fix that today. And the Lord just sent me as a little reminder to tell you. He called you. He called you. But some of you became apostate. Look that word up. Apostate. Close to definition. Some of you became lethargic. You cannot escape God. David said, where shall I go? Wherever I make my bed, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, you're there, God. He's there, brothers and sisters. Apostate. A person who renounces a religion, political belief, or principle. You can come back today, for real. You can come back today. Romans chapter 10. Some people think all they got to do is confess their mouth. But you see, the Bible says your heart comes before your mouth. Can somebody post Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. In the King James Version, please. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, confess what? The Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart. That's what you got to do. Because it is with your heart that you're able to believe unto righteousness. And you're able to believe it because of a previous work of God. Can you ever wonder how people are able to get up and say, I want to be saved? Because there was a previous work of God done by the Holy Spirit, whether they knew it or not. I think it's just awesome. The scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Because for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, no matter where you are, I want you out of your own heart, out of your own word, to confess, especially some of you. You had that encounter with God. You know he called you. Tell the Lord Jesus, you're going to do better. And you're sorry. If you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, this morning, won't you ask him to be your Lord? To have domain and dominion over all of you, over your spirit, over your soul, over your physical body. Because God has predetermined all of you for his use. All of you. Some of you may have been in the school of the Holy Spirit, being made and being prepared for the call of now, right now. So this morning, won't you bow your own head? And won't you get this thing right with God yourself? Nobody's pushing you, prompting you, nothing. Because you already know. God in his graciousness already let you know. But you and me in our rebelliousness, I can remember saying to God, am I that rebellious, God, that I got to learn everything the hard way? Can't you help me out? Fix me. Work on me. So I can get it without having to suffer so much to understand it. So this morning, if you believe on him, if you can muster up enough faith, and I know you got it because the Bible says he's given to each of us a measure of faith, and then there's the fruit of faith, and there's the gift of faith. So somewhere in there is you and your faith walk with God. Maybe you didn't get it right that he had to become your Lord as well as your Savior. But you won't be able to stand before God any longer. Because he's going to say, remember February the 6th, 2020, when I sent my servant to tell you the truth, that I called you, I did a work in you, and you've been rejecting me? I didn't teach you rejection, the devil did. I didn't hurt you or harm you, the devil did. But maybe it took that for your eyes to be open and your ears to be open to see me and hear me and respond to me. Won't you believe God enough this morning to ask him to make you into what he has predetermined and predestined you to be? You do it. You do it. Because see, except you do it, it's not acceptable to God. Did you know that? Except you do it out of your heart, it's not acceptable. This morning, out of your heart, acknowledge the fact that he called you. Acknowledge the fact that you're ready to turn around and embrace him first and foremost, because he is your Lord. And then you and he can take it from there. You and he, you and Jesus, you, that's why some of you not filled with the Holy Spirit, because you thought it was you, it's him. All you got to do is say yes to him, and then he does the work. I thank God for you. Tomorrow, I'll be coming to you with this message. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you this morning. I thank you this morning. Thank you.
passion that can't be fought. There is no mountain that can't be moved. I know there's help for the heavy hearted. The weak will find their strength renewed. You just gotta have faith. You just gotta have faith. It's life or the shadow, or all your tomorrow. Knowing he's there through the sun and the rain. It's when you believe it before you can see it.
Only God can break them. Only God can break those. Because they were initiated through disobedience to him. Some of you need to go to him and ask him to break that stuff off of you. Ask him to break it because of the disobedience of your grandma, your grandpa, that allowed those spirits to attack you. Because those curses have to be broken by God. Because I told you they were initiated by God because of disobedience. So how you break? Come out of disobedience. Come into obedience to God. And then you realize he is your Savior, Jesus. He is your healer, Jesus. He is your deliverer, Jesus. He is the only person that can reconcile you back with God. He is the bridge between you and God. Are you with me this morning? It's time for you to get your face before the face of God and let him break that stuff off of you and come into obedience. And those of you who were called by God, and you know it. You know you cannot run ever again. The only direction you can run in is to God. Praise God. This is Sister Erica Joseph Shepherd coming to you from Jesus Believers Church on the mountaintop in Dalton, Georgia. And brothers and sisters, I just have one thing to say this morning. Only one thing. And that is Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will forever be Lord. Have you made him yours today? That's the only question. Have you made him your Lord today? Only you can do it.